As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Hello and welcome to Football and Grits. It is Monday, September 20th, which means it's time to talk some SEC football. I am your host, David Ubben, joined, as always, by my co-host, Andy Staples. Andy, quite a weekend in the SEC, including... are we going to call this a total reset of the entire sport, of the entire conference? Is that too much? The Golden State Warriors taken slightly down a peg, I suppose. Alabama has defined so much about this sport, and they looked not unbeatable. I think it's, you know, it was a true Drago is cut moment, I would say.
Yes, it was very much a he's bleeding. They got out of the round, but the rest of the world realizes they're human. But they did still win. And if we recall, in 2015, they lost at home to Ole Miss and still came back and won the national title. So let's hold our Saban dynasties over hot takes for another day, but understand that yes, it does feel like things are pretty wide open, not just in the SEC, but in the entire sport, but especially in the SEC, where you saw Georgia's offense look really good again. You saw Florida with a firmly established identity winning at the line of scrimmage against Alabama at you know, for 2.5 quarters, which, you know, that just wasn't even possible for the last 10 years. So that's a big moment, I think, when you look at where everybody's at, because you've got Ole Miss that seems ascendant. You've got Texas A&M that, yeah, they won a clunker against Colorado, but they're still one of the more talented teams in the sport. It feels like things are pretty open.
Yeah, I think that's sort of the issue. Is it's not so much that you know, there's alarm bells on the Saban dynasty. It's just that, hey, they're rebooting almost their entire offense, and you can't just walk over everybody. I mean, if you go back to the Auburn loss in 2019, freshman Bo Nix. Since then, Florida's the only team that's come within 15 points of Alabama. Mm-hmm. That is, I mean, that's it was looking early on like, is it going to be another year of that? Of Auburn, yeah. I mean, of Alabama just walking over people for by two touchdowns every single week and just mowing people over. I think it's clear at this point that it's not going to be that. And a combination of Alabama can't just wake up and put 50 on the board. That's pretty obvious. And then also, there's some really good teams in the SEC. It's a strong upper class, I think, of the mm-hmm. SEC that we've seen, and you hit on some of that. But what Florida was able to do was really kind of amazing. And I think not only what they did, but getting off the mat, you go down 21-3 early on. I mean, that's when Alabama sort of mashes the gas pedal on people. And so not only to be competitive with Alabama, but to crawl out of that hole, you know, and almost get out alive is amazing, and not something that we have seen a lot of the time. And I think too, you know, when we look at this sort of mortal Alabama, I think you look at one, This Alabama team is averaging 4 yards a carry. That's not great. That's, I think, 40th nationally. It's not bad, but it's not what we've seen from Alabama.
It's not what we're used to from them. Yeah.
And that separation that the, you know, freakish receivers were getting that Mac Jones lived with last year, that's not happening. John Mechie is dealing with number one corners, and they've got some pieces, obviously, Jamison Williams. They've got really good receivers, but they don't have Devontae Smith. They don't have Jalen Waddle. I don't know that they have that freakish guy. And we saw that. It was a little bit of a tough going for Bryce Young, who's been really, really good. I think he can be the best player in the country. He could be by season's end. But this receiving group is just not what we've seen from Alabama the last few years with the sort of never-ending line of guys. And so I think those are, when you look at why did Alabama not blow Florida's doors off, I think you can point to those two things, and that this running game is not just rolling over people, and the receivers are just really good.
Right, and they're also not as deep up front defensively at the moment. I think Nick Saban said after the game they need to get more guys ready, feel like they can play more guys there. And that's the thing. When you've recruited a bunch of five-stars, it may be by the end of the season or even by the middle of the season that they have a much deeper rotation on the defensive front, and teams might not be able to do what Florida did to them on the ground. Now, I will point out, Florida was without the guy who probably is their best player. Now, Anthony Richardson probably will not be the starting quarterback when he comes back. If I had to guess, he's going to play the Tim Tebow role to Emory Jones playing the Chris Leak role, if we're going to go back to 2006.
We'll see. But, it's a long season.
Well, exactly. But I mean, at first.
Yeah.
At first, that's how it come. That's how it'll come back. And let's be honest. If Anthony Richardson is the quarterback on that two-point conversion and you empty the backfield, are you not completely terrified if you're the defense?
Should be. Yeah, I think it's I think the question that I have is, you know, the comparisons to the Golden State Warriors, the comparison to Tiger Woods with Alabama, I think are fair. And what Tiger used to do to people, we saw it in his prime, is we'd see really good players just melt when they got paired with him on Sunday. And I think you've seen that. You've seen teams, I think A&M is a good example last year, but we've seen it. Teams just do not play well against Alabama. They do not play up to what they can be. Florida right. seems to. Now, my
Florida,
question
it didn't
is,
seem to bother them last year, and it didn't seem to bother them
exactly.
this year.
Exactly. And Dan Mullen said after the game, our guys expected to win the game and played that way. They felt like they did that in the SEC championship, and they did it again this year. I couldn't tell you why they believe that, other than just a strong self-confidence, I suppose. But it's interesting. And I don't – my question is that unique to Florida? Are we going to see Georgia? Are we going to see, if they get to the SEC championship, are we going to see Texas A&M? Can they show up against Alabama and believe the same thing? Because I'm not sure that we've seen a lot of teams.
Georgia has made some through the years, Georgia has made mistakes against Alabama, but they've never wilted.
Yeah,
against Alabama, and true. I mean, not under Kirby Smart. There was a, you know, the Rick team, they got clobbered by them in his last year. Did, but since Kirby took over, they've not beaten Alabama, but they've always been in it against Alabama. So,
and dare I say, they were the better team in the national championship game. I think that was that seems
entirely
clear to
well.
Me.
Yeah, they wouldn't have been the better team had Tua been playing the whole game, and so
probably true.
Yeah, so they were the better team in 2018. And they blew it. That one they blew. They just blew it. But I don't think they're going to be scared. I don't think LSU would be scared. I'm just not sure LSU is going to be good enough. Yeah. You know, A&M is the one you got to kind of figure out, because they probably have the talent to hang, depending on how the quarterback situation works out.
Yeah, if Haynes King is coming back and making a debut, I wouldn't feel great about them if that's his first game back. Yeah. But we'll see.
But they have to prove that they're not going to melt down in front of Alabama. But Ole Miss never seems scared of Alabama.
Yeah.
And they've got to play them. So there's a lot of landmines along. Now, here's the thing. And we are really, and I can hear the Alabama fans screaming right now. So I'm going to help you guys out. They won the game.
They're still the best team in the country. I don't think anybody's doubting this.
We are acting like someone has unlocked some magic secret and now everybody can beat Alabama. They didn't lose. So until someone actually does it, let's not go overboard on this.
Exactly. But it's like we were talking about before. I think that it's good for college football that the rest of the season doesn't look like an Alabama victory lap.
Yes. And the Big Ten doesn't look like Ohio State's going to clobber everybody. And the Big 12, it looks like Oklahoma can be beaten. Yeah, this could be fun.
Yeah, I think so. And I think this the playoff field, you know, it doesn't look like, well, Clemson, Ohio State, Alabama, and then somebody, either Oklahoma or – it doesn't look like that. And that's good for the sport. It's good for the season. And if you start to try and forecast this year, you know, it's not as easy, I think, as it has been previously. Now, beyond the Alabama warts, it's worth hitting on what Florida did because they've done things that we have not seen. 6 yards a carry. Ohio State did that in the playoff semifinal. The Georgia Southern and their option attack when they were
7.74 yards a carry in 2011.
That had Nick Saban still talking about it years later. And Florida of all teams did that in 2009. In the last 12 years, that's the list. Florida on Saturday, Ohio State, Georgia Southern, and Florida in 2000. That's the list of teams that have averaged 6 yards a carry. And that was not a gimmicky 6 yards a carry. I think they had one run of 30 yards and a couple 20-yarders. It was, if you watch the second half, Florida controlled the line of scrimmage. They had three drives, touchdown, touchdown, touchdown. Teams don't do that to Alabama when they're still trying to play
the ball. Florida's right tackle went down during the game, and they had to replace him a couple times. I mean, this was very surprising. And, you know, Florida didn't run the ball very well at all the last 2 years, mostly because it didn't need to. They had such a good passing attack. They didn't need to run the ball. But also, the thought was they didn't run it because they couldn't. Well, it turns out they can. You know, that line can open holes. And Malik Davis is a great story because I think people forgot him. He was really good as a freshman, had a horrific knee injury that took really 2 years to come back from. And he has kind of found that groove that he had when he was a freshman. And most people don't come back from knee injuries that severe. They're just not the same. And to see him playing like that is really cool. But it's really everybody that the line's doing it. Now, the fear of what Emory Jones can do with his legs does help the back for sure. And it makes it easier for the line because it's essentially one extra person in the run game. But, you know, that's the same thing if Richardson's in too. So you're going to get that either way. And that's just going to be their identity. And now what they're going to do is they're going to have some teams that'll come stack the box against them and dare them to run dare them to throw. But I kind of think they'll be all right. I mean, you saw Emory Jones. There were some moments where he needed to make a throw and there were a couple to Trent Whittemore that converted a third and a fourth down. Like, he can do it if he needs to do it. So
you don't want him throwing it 50 times a game, but I think he's good enough when that running game is humming like that to win you a bunch of ball games and maybe even beat Alabama. They came pretty close. Let's not forget they missed extra point early on. I mean, this game in reality probably should have gone into overtime. And with the way that was going, I mean, would you have bet against Florida in overtime there? I'm not sure I would have.
No. If the longer the game went, the better chance Florida had.
When you're ripping off 6 yards a clip. And I think that, you know, can Texas A&M do that? Can Georgia do that? Can Ole Miss do that? I don't know. But this is sort of the hidden aspect of being able to do that is Alabama had three drives in the second half, Andy. They had three drives because Florida plays.
If Alabama sees Georgia, and really that's kind of up to Georgia and Florida, whether Alabama's going to see Georgia or not.
Also true.
But if Alabama sees Georgia, it may be very hard for Alabama to score on Georgia because Florida's defense is not Georgia's defense. And you saw after three good drives, Alabama pretty much conked out for the rest of the game.
And you can't do that against an offense with as many weapons as Florida still has.
They had a scoring drive in the second half that if Brenton Cox holds on to the interception that is in his hands, that drive ends. So, I mean, that's the thing they got to worry about. There's some defenses they're going to play against, which would be probably A&M. And if they see Georgia in the SEC championship game, that are not going to let them get away with very much.
Yeah. I want to see that matchup of Georgia's defensive line against Alabama. I think it might be tough because obviously Florida to this point, certainly more accomplished than Georgia. Well, maybe not more accomplished, but they're, I mean, that game, if they played on a neutral
more accomplished field, than Georgia. Would, Georgia's beaten Clemson.
Yeah, but Clemson also, let's be honest, if you've watched Clemson since that night.
No, Georgia is more accomplished.
All right.
Florida has a non-win against Alabama, and Georgia has an actual win against Clemson.
Which they didn't score an offensive touchdown in.
Did they win the game?
Listen, I'm not going to argue with you about they won the game.
Were they completely healthy?
Clemson has me concerned.
Yeah, Clemson wasn't very good against Georgia Tech.
No, they were not. And I think, again, you know, Clemson is still Clemson, but it's worth asking the question of, you know, is this Clemson team – obviously, I think they're still probably the best team in the SEC, probably by a wide margin. Are they one of the eight best teams in the country? If you grading them on what you've seen in 2021, I don't think the answer to that question is yes. I got to tell you.
The defense is yes, but the offense is no.
Yes.
And that's the problem, is, and you don't know where they fall. You know, because it depends on who they play and when they play them and how much they give up. But yeah, I mean, I don't have confidence in Clemson to go undefeated through the ACC after seeing them a couple times already this year. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. I don't have confidence in anybody to go undefeated except maybe Georgia so far. And the thing is, after seeing Florida yesterday and knowing that Anthony Richardson could be coming back and adding an X factor to that offense, I'm not necessarily confident Georgia can go undefeated. So yeah. I mean, it's a really fascinating year, and it feels just more that there's more possibilities than there have been in a long time.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
I don't think we're getting an undefeated SEC champion this year. It seems like that looks clear to me at this point. That obviously Alabama, the best odds of doing that, but I'm not sure we're going to see that.
Well, I think Georgia has the best odds of doing that. Georgia has an easier regular season schedule.
Yeah, but you still have to play Florida. Florida's probably favored by a field goal in that ball game right now.
If you beat Florida, you're going to go to Atlanta undefeated.
Well, yeah, but then you got to beat Alabama, which Georgia hasn't done yet. So we'll see. Listen, I think it's going to – ultimately, the season got a lot more interesting on Saturday, and that is good for everything. And everyone, I think, except probably Alabama. But like you said, Andy, what did they do? They won the game.
They did win. So, exactly. We were talking Alabama. About it like they lost, but they actually won. So let's not get too ahead of our – because really, and I don't want to be a party pooper here, that could have just been their worst game, and they blow the doors off everybody else they play.
They're going to blow the doors off a lot of teams. But I don't know that their offense is effective enough.
Like I don't think. Yeah, they're not.
Last year they were waking
year.
Up and scoring 50. I mean, Miami. I think everybody expected them to roll over, but Miami is just not a good team.
Right, Miami's just not good, and that's we expected Miami to be a pretty quality ACC team.
Yeah,
Miami just got housed by Michigan. Well, it was a close game into the fourth quarter. The Michigan State just hit the gas at the end.
They're going to see better offenses than Michigan State, and they did not pass that test. I'm just really interested to see what the next couple months look like. And one team that Alabama is going to have to play, fair to say, Nick Saban's least favorite team to face, Andy, Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss.
Ooh, boy.
Ole Miss, if they wanted to, could have scored 80, maybe 90.
They could have scored 100.
They took the foot off the gas a little bit there late when they opened it up 40-point lead on Tulane, who, if you missed, gave Oklahoma all they wanted. Now, here's the deal with Ole Miss. Last year, they had two problems. They ranked 115th nationally in yards per play allowed, and they ranked 109th nationally in giveaways. This year, two giveaways in three games, 47th nationally in yards per play allowed. That's a huge jump. We'll see if they can continue that. But the two things that were a problem for them last year, a leaky defense and turnovers, seem to have kind of dried up. And if they're going to be doing that, Ole Miss, they're going to be as good as anybody in the West. I don't know if they can do that, but if they do, that's going to be a problem.
The giveaways were concentrated mainly on in two games.
Yes.
They threw six interceptions against Arkansas and five against LSU. So that seems to be something they could probably address. The defense part of it, we'll see when they start playing better offenses. Remember, who did they play right out of the gate last year? Florida. And of course they got torched. Mm-hmm. Because that Florida team torched everybody. Even if you had a really good defense, they were going to torch you. So that Ole Miss playing 10, you know, playing a full SEC schedule, the defense's flaws showed. We'll see. You know, I don't know how good Louisville is. Louisville and UCF, neither of them looked all that good the other night. Mm-hmm. Tulane did give Oklahoma all it can handle, but we don't know what Tulane is. So I am interested in seeing Ole Miss against better competition. And what does that mean? Because if they are slightly better defensively, look out. This could get really interesting.
They just nobody can really reliably stop them. And you watch that attack, you watch the speed that they have, Matt Corral extending plays, running the ball. I mean, they're a nightmare. They're so explosive. They can score on a whip, and there's a reason why they drive Nick Saban crazy. Because they force you to do so many things. And if you make mistakes, they take advantage. And we saw that. We've seen that for a year and a half now. A year and a few games, I guess, that they do this to teams. But their offense is better probably than last year. Close to it, maybe. We'll see as time goes on. No Elijah Moore is a factor. But they haven't really missed a beat without him so far. And you have an entire offense that's, you know, in the system another year. Matt Corral, experienced, the most accomplished passer in the conference coming into this year. Now, as you read on our site, the new betting favorite for the Heisman Trophy. That was interesting. It's really a two-horse race if you look at the betting odds. Mr. Bryce Young and Matt Corral, the only two guys in the mix.
Of course, it's also September.
Yes, true, but notable. But I don't know what to make of, I'm not all in on Ole Miss yet, but I know they're going to beat some good teams this year. And if those trends continue, they're not turning the ball over, they're getting some stops. Tulane 1 of 11 on third downs. If they're doing that kind of stuff to people, you can't beat Ole Miss and go 1 of 11 on third downs. You can't. If they're doing that, you're going to have some really big nights.
Well, let's pick at the Alabama fans' wounds a little bit more. Ole Miss has an open date this week and plays Alabama the following week. Alabama has to play Southern Miss before. I know how Alabama fans feel about playing good opponents who are coming off open dates. They're not fans of it. It seems to happen pretty frequently to them. It is happening again. And that's so Ole Miss, as we speak, as you're listening to this podcast, Ole Miss is working on Alabama.
I can't wait for that game. That's going to be such a great ball game. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's going to be something. I'm excited just because of the potential fireworks, because Ole Miss's defense, probably not quite as good as Florida's defense, so Alabama should score plenty. But, look, I just watched that Alabama defense look very gassed against Florida's defense. What happens if Ole Miss is just going high tempo and moving the ball? I mean, Alabama needs to use this weekend Southern Miss to find some more young guys that they're comfortable playing, mm-hmm. because it feels like they need to be deeper right now.
I may live to regret this. Alabama's not scoring 60 points on Ole Miss. They're not. You can slow them down. You can do some things to them, but they needed every one of those points against Ole Miss last year. It's not going to be what is that stat called? Available yards gained or something like that? What is that stat called?
Yeah, it's basically how many yards you can gain based on where you got the ball.
Where you got the ball. I think it was 85 to 88% last year Alabama did against Ole Miss.
Yeah.
That's not going to be happening. Not to that
level. No, it's going to be a really fun game. And we're getting ahead of ourselves, though, because there's a lot more this coming week that's going to be big. Now, the officials in the SEC need to clean it up. They went outside the conference. Conference teams were playing non-conference games on the road. And the SEC officials that came to those games did not cover themselves in glory. The crew that worked the Mississippi State Memphis game, you had an official saying on the punt for we'll review. There's a punt, Mississippi State punts. The Mississippi State player touches the ball, saying it's down. You're not that is not. I was actually talking to Steve Spurrier about this after the Florida Alabama game, and he said you coach the guy to pick up the ball and hand it to the ref. You have to pick up the ball and hand it to the ref.
Yeah, Mike Leach said similar things after the game. Mm-hmm.
One of the officials did make the move of stop the clock. The ball is down.
Very clearly.
And some Mississippi State players stopped, and the Memphis guy picks it up and runs. And also the officials missed, according to the SEC statement after the game, that Memphis had two number fours on the field, which was also a penalty.
And so, that play should never have happened.
Right. So they blew that and actually cost one of the conference's teams a win. And then you get to the group that was at the Auburn-Penn State game, and they can't count to four, among other things.
That was wild. I Auburn, we'll talk about them in a second. I'm glad that game did not – or that play did not cost – or impact the outcome.
Right, didn't cost Penn State the game.
Didn't cost Penn State, because that is, it was early, yes. You can't really say necessarily that it fully affected the outcome one way or the other. It was pretty early on. But, when people complain about bad officiating, it's usually judgment calls, subjective calls. That's PI, that's holding, whatever.
Right.
In my naivete, Andy, in this technology age of replay and social media, I thought we'd never see another fifth down.
But are we opening old wounds with the Mizzou grad here?
I didn't think we'd see it, but we did. We did, and something as objective as what down it is, that usually has a pretty simple answer, but apparently not. And it's frustrating because I feel bad for Mississippi State, for their players, for their coaching staff. You work all week for something like that, and there's just nothing you can do. And it's you just have to sort of eat it. And it's not what was the Auburn Arkansas game last year? That was the
fumble. That was the same thing.
I mean, that's an error, but it's a judgment call. This is right. I don't think this is not really a judgment call. Like it should have the thing that bugs me the most is they make the error and then the replay booth confirmed it. The replay booth said, "Yes, that's right," which it obviously was not. Like it's props to Calvin Austin.
Then the missing the number 4 thing. Like that's an obvious thing that you should notice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But they didn't, Andy. And Mississippi State is going to be thinking about that one for a while. You can't let the officials beat you twice if you're Mississippi State, and that is the challenge ahead.
Well, can we talk about Mississippi State's next opponent?
Let's.
Because LSU whipped up on Central Michigan. Jim McElwain makes his return to Tiger Stadium for the first time since he brought Florida in there, and a very surprising win in 2016 after the two had argued about whether they're going to play it in Gainesville, and there was a hurricane coming, and ended up playing in Baton Rouge, and Florida wins the game, and there was tons of bad blood.
Impressive by LSU. Impressive.
Yeah. Yeah. And look, Ed Orgeron said it after the game. It was the same thing I was screaming about during the UCLA game. He said before they played Central Michigan, hey, we're just going to get up to the line and run the play. And we have better athletes. We have a quarterback who seems to work better when he's in rhythm. And they look great. Offensively, they were very smooth. Now, they're about to go back into much tougher competition. Here is their next set of games. They play Mississippi State. They play Auburn. They play Kentucky. They play Florida. They play Ole Miss. They play Alabama.
At Ole Miss, at Alabama.
Yeah. So that could be a disastrous stretch for them if they play the way they played against UCLA, which, by the way, remember how UCLA pushed around LSU? Mm-hmm. They were getting pushed around by Fresno State last night. So there is no excuse for LSU. They have to have this fixed, or this next stretch is going to be miserable for them.
Life in the SEC West, and a bad year to have Kentucky as your crossover opponent, quite frankly. And if you had to guess, looking at that stretch, what does their record have to be for people to not be ready to run Coach O out of town? You got Mississippi State, Auburn, Kentucky, Florida, Ole Miss, Alabama.
So that's six games. I think you need to go 3-3.
I'm not sure that would do it. I got to tell you, I'm not sure that would do it. I guess it depends on how you lose and who you lose to.
I mean, look, Florida and Alabama losing to them, there may be no shame in that this year. Mm-hmm. If it's 3-3, you still got a chance. If you're 2-4 or worse, there's a chance they're talking about Gene Chizik-ing you.
Yes. But on that back half, you might be talking about a three-game losing streak. Florida at Ole Miss, at Alabama.
And we act like it's so much easier. They would still have Arkansas and A&M after that.
Yes.
Neither of which would be easy compared to everything else. So this is the thing. They're talented enough. They're actually talented enough to win all of these.
Not Alabama, but the rest of them, yes.
If they can beat Florida, they can beat Alabama. Did Florida and Alabama not look fairly even yesterday?
I mean, maybe. We'll see.
So, but I don't think they will win all those games. They have good enough players to do it. But this will be a test of the coaching staff. This will be the measure of the coaching staff. How do you resolve the issues that plagued you in your season opening loss? Did you fix them? We will know in the next 3 weeks if they fix them or not.
Mm-hmm. All losable games. All games that they'll probably be favored in all three of those, probably. At Kentucky, we'll see. We'll see there's a lot of games to be played. But, I mean, this goes back to what we were talking about, was it last week or 2 weeks ago, Andy, and that some really good team is going to finish last in the SEC West. And, you know, if you ask somebody today, they'd probably say Mississippi State, but somebody will lose next week, and then it'll be well, definitely they're going to be the ones that finish last. And somebody has to win there. It's going to be brutal.
Mississippi State's defense is really good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, look at what turned the game yesterday for Mississippi State. It wasn't something their defense gave up. So that's going to keep them competitive in almost every game they play. So they're going to win some of those and probably win one of those that they're not supposed to.
Yeah. You're probably right. On the other side of, elsewhere in the SEC West, I suppose, Auburn faced their toughest test of the Harsin era yet. I think a lot of people, I was a little bit iffy on Auburn. There's all the talk about fit. There's all the talk about, when you try to hire the guy you're not happy with 8-9 wins every year and beating Alabama every other year. You're not happy with that. You want to go bigger. It's a dangerous game to play. I think people were, and you're sort of rebooting a little bit, people were worried that this Auburn team would take a step back. I think this Auburn team didn't seem super dangerous to me from watching them, but it looked very competent. And I don't know that you're going to have that 4-8, that 5-7 in year one that some people thought they might have.
I think
very, very capable.
I think dangerous can come later. That's the beauty of it. You set the floor high and then you work toward the ceiling. Mm-hmm. And I think the way Brian Harsin, I was thinking about this last night as I watched them, the way Brian Harsin wants to play is the way Auburn has traditionally wanted to play offensively. They want to run it down your throat. Mm-hmm. You know, even with
Shades
Gus
of Tuberville.
Yeah, right. But even with Gus, their best teams ran it down your throat.
Yeah.
So that's what historically they've wanted. That's kind of the character of the program that fits the mold. And defensively, they've been good. So Derek Mason still has plenty to work with. So, you know, I was screaming, run the damn ball, Bobo, on fourth and goal with the goal line fade, which
yeah.
Even if you don't run the ball, just don't call that. Give your quarterback and your receiver some options there. Give him a chance. But they were in that game. I thought they played pretty well. I think Penn State's pretty good. So I'm not discouraged at all by anything I saw. I think that is a program that could develop into a power in the SEC West sooner rather than later. All he's got to do is get some more weapons offensively.
I think because
they're going to run the ball well.
Yeah, I think for me, I wanted to know what are you to start? Because I was not real high on Auburn coming into the year. But I, you know, they were the biggest wild card, and we didn't see, you know, good teams blow out bad teams, and Auburn did that in their first two games. But that also doesn't tell you that much. So it's kind of like, well, what are we looking at? Who are you? And like I said, I think we've seen that the floor for them is pretty high. I mean, the idea of them, you know, flunking out and landing at 4-8 or 5-7. If you told me that before the season, I would have said, well, you know, maybe it's possible. It's on the table. Wouldn't have been shocked. Now, I don't think that's on the table. You know, it's hard for me to see them not having at least a solid season. So, I think we learned that about them. It wasn't the same level of Florida moral victory. But that's a tough test. That's a proven Penn State team that's really good, that seems to have rebounded from the 0-5 debacle from a year ago.
Oh, yeah.
And Auburn went up there and played with them. I mean, they were equal. And for whatever it's worth, on the final play call, Brian Harsin said there were five different options on that last play. And based on the read, Bo Nix is supposed to do something.
Read it wrong.
If I'm Bo Nix in that situation, even if I see the fade, unless that guy is uncovered, I don't know that I'm throwing that.
Seth Williams
is not walking through that door.
Yeah, right. And you don't throw it with a guy one-on-one against Jaquan Brisker.
Yes.
Maybe unless it's Seth Williams.
Even then, play your percentages. I mean, I'm a big fan of the rollout. I guess they were on the right hash, right?
They're on the right hash. I'm also
so the
a big
rollout
fan
to the short
to
side is tough, but I'm a big fan.
I like running to the short side. So when you have those two backs, who've been, by the way, gaining a lot of yards,
and Tank,
and you let them cook.
False forward Bigsby.
That's the thing. If they get stuffed doing that, I don't have an issue with it. It doesn't bother me. You danced with the girl who rung you.
Yeah,
for lack of a better term.
Yeah. But we'll see. Auburn fans should feel good about their team. This is not their year. I don't think they can really contend with the top levels of the SEC West. But this is not going to be that sort of rebuilding, culture building sort of year. Auburn, they've recruited pretty well, and this is what happens when you do that. They've got a lot of talent. They're still a really good team, and we'll see what they have to offer as the season goes along.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Andy, we got to talk about two defenses who had different types of days. Should we start with Georgia or Kentucky here?
Let's start with Georgia. Let's say nice things.
I don't think anybody was panicking after the Clemson debacle. I think everybody knew Clemson had a really good defense.
Debacle? They beat Clemson.
They didn't score a touchdown, Andy. They did not score a touchdown. That's a problem.
And their starting tight end was out. Their two best receivers were out.
If you don't score a touchdown in a game and you think that you can win the national championship, that's a problem. It's 2021,
Yeah, but you know those people are coming back, so you're not worried about it.
But you did not score a touchdown. That is a problem. That is a problem. I don't care who you're playing or who
the
you're
reasons
missing.
Why you didn't score the touchdown were quite obvious. The defensive line you're playing against, by the way, nobody else has except you.
True.
There is no one with a better defensive line than Clemson in the country except Georgia.
I agree with you on this.
So you know, you keep going back to it, but I don't care that they did not score a touchdown against Clemson.
I do.
They didn't have any weapons to score with.
You still got to score. You gotta put some points on the board. 3 points.
No, you don't. You have to win that game, get your people healthy, and then go torture. And oh, by the way, have they played well on offense since?
That's what we're getting into, Andy. They have. They have. Even without a healthy JT Daniels, we'll see if he can get right heading into the cocktail party a little bit later this month. But Georgia, like I said, I think they've put some of that stuff to bed. I'm a big Todd Monken proponent. I think he's a really good offensive mind. I thought it was a really smart hire.
I think JT Daniels is pretty right. He did throw for 300 yards and 3 touchdowns.
Yeah, but he's still banged up. They don't like that. They don't like this oblique situation that he's in. They're pulling him late in the game. They're saying, well, we don't want to risk it. He's not 100%. He's not, you know.
They were winning 40-6.
I know, but they don't like the health. It seems obvious that they're protecting him at this point.
Of course. Well, you want to get him banged up when you're winning 40-6.
I'm talking in general, though. In general. Either way. Get him right. Get him back to 100%. But UAB is not a walkover team. They're better than people think, and their strength is their defense. Stetson Bennett lit them on fire. South Carolina, you're still an SEC team. You know, they're in year one. They've got their own issues. But Georgia, they're making it look really easy. And that is a really, really good sign moving forward for the Bulldogs. I've been surprised at how easy they've made it look the last couple weeks. And, you know, I think, like you said, part of that is getting healthy. Getting guys back on the field. Part of that is not having healthy players
and not playing Clemson's defensive line. Yes, yeah.
All things that help. But I think we'll see. I'm still not sure that Georgia is going to be able to score enough to win those games that they need to win to be who they want to be. If they got to beat Florida, they got to beat Alabama and do those things. I mean, you're Georgia's national champion guy, right? This is still, are you still riding that horse? Oh, yeah. You're still riding that horse.
Yes.
So we'll see. We'll see. I am not with you.
I am much less certain about the game in Jacksonville now.
Yeah.
Because
that
I do,
feels like a coin flip to me.
Seeing Florida establish an identity like that is something I wasn't sure how long it would take them to do, and would they be able to do it with Emory Jones, or would they have to switch to Anthony Richardson or try? Now they can be what they want to be with Emory Jones, and then when you get Anthony Richardson healthy and you bring him back into the mix, then he becomes that X factor where you can do a bunch of different things. So yeah, my confidence in Florida against Georgia much higher now, but Georgia still seems like the more complete, more well-rounded team, because I'll take Georgia's defense over Florida's defense any day.
Yeah. Yeah. Andy, am I naive to shrug off Kentucky's disaster against Chattanooga? 3 turnovers, I think, are the biggest culprit there. The defense is an issue for Kentucky, but offensively, I'm just saying, we saw them do it against Missouri. I don't think they're really getting that fired up for Chattanooga. I'm just not that concerned. I've seen enough from them to believe. Am I naive?
I don't think you're naive. I think we need to understand where this team's ceiling is. Mm-hmm. I think it's pretty similar to the Benny Snell, Josh Allen team, which it could be a really good Kentucky team. But remember what happened when that team played Georgia with the SEC East on the line? It wasn't even close.
Yeah.
And I think that may be the situation here. We'll get a really good idea when that team plays Florida in a couple of weeks. They've got South Carolina, which is a game they should win and should win fairly easily. And then if they don't, then, you know, it's probably going to be a slog as they play the better teams the rest of their schedule. But that Florida game where Florida comes to Lexington, that's a kind of a trappy game for Florida. That's the one. If they want to shock the world, they need to do it right there. Mm-hmm. But that may not be the case. I mean, Florida may be too good, you know, because Kentucky, you're right, the defense is not as good as it has been. And this is one. If the defense were as good as it was the last 2 years with this offense, we might be talking about them as a dark horse SEC East title candidate.
The defense has quietly been really unimpressive. Not what we've seen from Kentucky the last year or two. And that's going to be a problem.
Like, to be honest, the defense the last year or two didn't have much of a choice.
Also true. But yeah, I think that's going to be a problem for Kentucky. Like you said, that's going to limit their ceiling. But we'll see. Maybe they snap out of it. Andy, quite a week in the SEC. It's like I said, I feel like the whole thing sort of just looks different. When Alabama looks a little bit more human. Mortal. Yeah, I think, and like I said, I think it has been bad for the sport how much better they've been than everybody else. You know, I think some people would disagree with that, but it's just not been as entertaining. I've been beating the drum for a long time that college football is not about who wins the national championship every year. That's like, that is a factor. That is not the only factor in the sport. The entire conversation around the sport can't revolve around that. But it's still probably the biggest conversation. And when there's doubt in that conversation, I think it's good for the game. And, you know, Alabama's still the best team in the country. They're still a beast. They're still going to blow a lot of teams out. But they're not going to win every playoff game by 30 points and walk to the SEC championship.
He's a man. He's not a machine. He's a man.
Yeah, exactly. Andy, quickly before we go out, a look ahead to next week.
SEC games next week.
In what cruel way is Texas A&M going to beat Arkansas this year in Dallas?
It does seem like there was a stretch of about 5 years where Arkansas played out of its shoes against a better Texas A&M team,
mm-hmm.
and came like a gnat's eyelash away from winning, and some awful thing would happen.
We almost saw a walk-off safety in the NFL this week. Maybe A&M could finish the job with their defensive front. We'll see.
Yes,
I'm excited for that ball game. What game stands out to you, Andy, besides the Jerry Jones Bowl down there in Dallas, are you most excited for? Do you want to steal
LSU Mississippi State? I think mm-hmm. that's going to be interesting because I want to see how does Mississippi State bounce back from losing a game that basically was stolen from them by a bad call, and then is LSU better? Did LSU mm-hmm. use these 2 weeks to correct the issues that plagued them during that first game? Because as we discussed, the road after that only gets harder, and yeah. if they're not getting better, then it's going to be a really weird year for them in Baton Rouge. But they're going to Starkville, and it seems like their trips to Starkville are kind of watershed events. I mean, in 2017 they had, I think, three healthy defensive linemen just got destroyed, and you kind of saw how far they needed to go in the trenches. 2019 they sort of announced their presence to the world, and now we sort of see who the real LSU is.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's going to be a fun game to find out with.
Kentucky, complaints about being ranked ring a little hollow after the Chattanooga game. A little nervous for them to go to South Carolina?
No, I'm not.
I am too. I think
they had the clunker.
Back. Yeah,
I think if they hadn't had the clunker, if they just breezed through Chattanooga, then maybe South Carolina surprises them or they come in overconfident. They won't come in overconfident now. They realize, oh, shoot, anybody can beat us. So let's not let that happen. And they're a better team. They should control the ball, control the clock. I think Kentucky should win this game.
And, Andy, we've talked about four games for next week, and we have not talked about Tennessee, Florida. A sad state of affairs for the once proud rivalry.
But here's the thing. When was it last a proud rivalry?
20 years ago. 15 years ago.
Tennessee won in 2016, and before that hadn't won since 2004.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like it's even a rivalry at this point. Tennessee's got to win some to make that a rivalry.
Any chance we see a letdown from Florida in that ball game?
Yes. That's the thing. This is it's not a super old Florida team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were old last year. This group could essentially get full of themselves after being told, oh, you should have beaten Alabama. I don't think they will. I actually think losing the game will ensure that they don't
mm-hmm.
that they don't say, oh, well, we're good. We're great. You know, we should be able to just roll over everybody until we get to Georgia. I don't think they're going to feel that way because they did lose the game. You know, I guarantee you it stings because it wasn't a case where they played their best and lost to a superior opponent. They made many, many mistakes that if one of them goes differently, they win. And so I think they'll be ready to play.
I wouldn't be surprised if we saw like a 14-10 the end of the first quarter, you know, midway through the second quarter sort of thing where Florida's like,
I just think
Florida, that offensive front and Tennessee, they're just, their defensive line has left a lot to be desired. I don't think they can hang with them or keep it really close for 60 minutes. Yeah. So we'll see that running game that will travel.
Yeah. Tennessee may hit a couple bombs early.
Yeah.
But Florida just kind of wears them down.
Yeah, more likely they'll probably overthrow some bombs, but we'll see.
Maybe a couple overthrows.
We'll see. Thank you guys for listening. That has been this week's episode of Football and Grits. Again, we're here every Monday. Make sure to subscribe to the Andy Staples and Friends feed. We have new shows every single day. You can hear Andy come close to committing involuntary manslaughter on Ari Wasserman every week on his Friday show, his Friday Picks show. We've got Power Hour. We've got One True Pod, our Big 12 pod. Check it out. We've got great stuff every single week. Our new Stars Matter recruiting podcast, whatever you want, it's on the Andy Staples and Friends feed. So make sure to subscribe. And we're here every Monday talking the SEC. So make sure to have that delivered directly to your device. I am your host, David Ubben. For Andy Staples, that's it for this week. We'll see you again next Monday. Thanks for tuning in.